This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisan and Wong Shaoning. It is 7:07 a.m. Tuesday, the 15th of December, and in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Tsinghua University, on the progress of electoral reforms in the country. We've also got a poll on the subject. What's that looking like, Roshan?
Well, if you go over to Twitter at BFM Radio, we've got a poll for your question that we're asking you this morning. Which electoral reform measure do you think should be prioritized before holding GE15? And with a mere 13 votes in so far, 92% say anti-hopping laws, 0% think postal votes and postal ballots, 8% say political financing laws, 0% saying others at this point. But like I said, we just put up the poll, so get on over and let us know what you think. And I think here particularly valuable will be your comments, so be sure to reply to the thread there.
Yes, let us know what you think. We'll be taking a look at the result of the poll throughout the morning. But right now, we are taking a look at how markets closed overnight. And in the US, the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 were both in the red. So the Dow was down at 0.6%, the S&P down 0.4%, but the NASDAQ closed up 0.5%. And in Asia, it was a pretty mixed day.
It was indeed a mixed day, Lynn. Japan and Shanghai were up. Japan was up 0.3%, Shanghai was up 0.7%, Korea was down 0.3%, Hong Kong was down 0.4%. But when you come closer to home, it's pretty interesting number here, because Singapore was up 1.3%, but the KLCI was down 1.3%. They kind of offset each other. That's not how it works. Don't take my word for that.
Interesting market movements indeed. And for more on this morning, we are speaking with Joe Quinlan, a chief market strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, good morning. Thank you so much for speaking with us. So with vaccines now arriving stateside today, in what direction do you expect U.S. markets to move this week? Are you expecting to see profit taking or a continuation of previous rotational trades?
Well, probably given the push and pull of the markets, a little bit of both profit taking year end and also some rotation away from, you know, more of the technology, more into the cyclicals. But the market, you know, we lost a little ground today, a little bit here, because of the more announced shutdowns in various states, whether it's New York, California. So, you know, we're in that kind of a period here where we're worrying about growth coming in for the last month of the year and in the Q1. But I think this will pass. We've got the vaccination. We've got limited shutdowns. The rotation will continue into cyclicals and I think more value over growth over the next couple of weeks.
Joe, on another note, the Fed meets in their final session for the year. Are you expecting any policy changes on the rates or asset purchases? Is the rise in the 10-year Treasury yields of a concern to them at this point?
No. I don't expect any major policy platform coming out of the Fed. And I don't think the 10-year backup in the yield is worrisome just yet. Far from that, in the sense that, you know, steeper yield curve is hopefully signaling more reflation next year. I think the big story for next year could be inflation, but we're not there yet. But for the Fed, I think they'll be kind of stand pat. And I do think they're going to, again, say that they need fiscal help. Really, really, the markets are looking for the fiscal side of the equation, the fiscal stimulus package that seems to be taking forever to come out of Congress. So I think the Fed will kind of maybe gently nudge the people on Capitol Hill to move faster.
We're seeing some news. I've got CNBC open here, Joe, and they're saying that lawmakers have announced the latest stimulus proposal here, and the futures seem to have risen with that news. Are you, is this more optimistic note, or is it a bit of the same old at this point?
Well, I mean, the markets are getting, I mean, we know we're going to get a fiscal stimulus. You see jobless claims backed up a little bit here. So you know, the markets want it sooner rather than later. So, yeah, we're kind of we thought we'd have a stimulus package before the election of all things. So I think the markets are pining. It's kind of like an insurance policy. They want that insurance policy, that fiscal put in place, because then it gives them more confidence that we've got more momentum building for Q1 when it comes to the economy and earnings. So it's an insurance policy the markets want now, not later.
All right, Joe, and let's also look at the situation in the UK, because they need to negotiate a deal with the EU before December 31st. Do you think that a settlement is still possible? I mean, what kind of scenario are financial markets leaning towards presently?
Well, I mean, look at just the currency market, the pound, and the pound is strengthened here. And there's a lot of, you know, the bets from the market is that some type of deal will be crafted. It won't be a hard, you know, Brexit crashing out of the European Union. You know, but I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if they kick the can down the road, hit the pause button if they can't come to an agreement. So, you know, it's here again, where the markets are even more tired of talking about Brexit. So I think they'll come up with some type of deal ad hoc that both parties can claim victory and then continue to negotiate. Maybe they'll, you know, broadly have an agreement, but then whether it's fisheries and Northern Ireland borders, they come back to that. So, but watch the pound. The pound is suggesting that investors are expecting some type of deal.
Yeah, I feel you, Joe. At this point, it feels like Brexit is a tale as old as time. But let's take a look at China then. Do you see foreign capital inflows into China's stock and bond markets slowing anytime soon? Are you bullish on the yuan when we're speaking about currencies here? Or do you think the PBOC will step in with more measures to contain the range there?
Well, they certainly will, you know, be managing the currency, quote unquote. And we've got a big issue here in the United States about delisting of Chinese ADRs. What does that mean? It'd be over a three-year time period. That's a lot of questions from clients. But I think in general, I mean, if you look at inflows to China, they're pretty robust. If you look at foreign direct investment, in fact, pretty good first half of the year. I mean, we keep hearing about decoupling, people leaving China. China actually is growing, and therefore they're attracting more capital investment, you know, for plants and equipment. That big consumer market, and I do think these inflows do affect the currency market. So, I mean, you know, China, they're kind of in the sweet spot, not too much in terms of inflows, not too little. And when you look at globally, you know, China stands out as a growth leader, and that in and of itself attracts capital. So they're well positioned to continue to attract their fair share of capital.
So, Joe, as we head into 2021, what kind of asset allocation are you leaning towards? Would it be tilted more towards developed or emerging markets?
Well, we've lowered slightly our large cap U.S. exposure, and we're allocating more to the small cap. We're looking more value over growth. We're looking at the emerging markets. The catch-up being coming from, say, a Mexico or Brazil, or more cyclical energy-driven emerging markets versus those emerging markets like Taiwan, even Malaysia to a degree, that had a big pop related technology. So in developed markets, it's Japan, robotics. In Europe, it's in and around life sciences and the luxury brands of Italy and France. So, you know, we do see some opportunities building overseas relative to a year ago. So we are shifting slightly, tilting towards more developed and emerging markets and small cap versus large cap.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us his thoughts on the market movements and what's been happening in both the U.S. as well as the U.K. Shanning, what were some of your thoughts listening to what Joe had to say?
Well, I found it quite interesting in terms of his asset allocation for 2021. I guess because the U.S. has already done so well, it's up, well, except for last night, but still up S&P 500, up close to 13%. So I'm not surprised that he's shifting towards small caps, because small caps are a sign of broader economic recovery. So if you expect the U.S. to do better with all the stimulus coming in, this rotation play does make sense. But unfortunately, he does highlight that in terms of emerging markets, he's looking more at South America, partially because it hasn't done as well as emerging markets here in Malaysia and, of course, the rest of Southeast Asia.
Yeah, and when we talk about small caps, one of those indicators is the Russell 2000, right? And if you take a look at the last few months, last 3 months, it's up about 24%. Before this, it was a bit more slower in the recovery. But on a year-to-date basis, the Russell 2000 is up about 14-15% at this point. It'll be interesting to take note. But also, when you take a look at the China inflows, right? Because there are lots of concerns. I think the delisting of possible Chinese companies in the US and the ADRs could be an implication for them and the yuan and all of that. But he still feels that China is that growth leader, right? Mm-hmm. And that no matter what, you'll still be able to attract funds because that you are the growth leader.
Yes, China's been the engine of growth in this region for quite a long time. And considering that they are now looked to be first on the path to recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, everyone will be watching them quite closely indeed, ourselves included. But right now we are heading into some messages. And up next, speaking with Wong Chin Huat, political scientist at Sunway University, on electoral reform. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.